You're listening to another inspirational message from Bell Road Church. If you live in the North Phoenix area and are looking for a church community, we'd love to have you join us. It's a great place for the whole family where you can have fun and grow closer to Jesus. For more information, visit us at www.bellroadchurch.com.
Hello, how's everybody doing? So, I am not Pastor Tyrone. What? I know, crazy, right? No, him and his family are on a much needed vacation, so he gave me the opportunity to share with you all this morning, so super awesome. The Bible talks about giving honor where honor is due, and we have amazing pastors that we all love so much, and I love them so much, and they're fantastic. And so they super thankful for the opportunity to get to share and hang out with you guys this morning. So super grateful for that. So I'm Vanessa. I'm the youth pastor here, if I've never met you. Hello. You guys are great. So I work with teenagers here. We have a service every week on Wednesday nights, so I work with 6th grade through 12th grade. So it's a good time. They're hilarious. But I'm excited to get to be here this morning. So if I say tonight a lot or something, it's because I'm used to preaching in the evening and not in the morning. So it's sometimes I catch myself and I'm like, oh, it's morning still. Okay. But today, guys, we're going to finish out the Problem with Christianity series. And the questions today we're asking is, what happens when I die? Okay. That's like a super heavy subject, I think, for a lot of us. And I think we fear death. Some of us could look at ourselves and be like, man, I'm kind of scared to die. I don't even know if I really want to. And I feel like that fear is in a lot of us, if not some of us, maybe none of you have that fear, but I know sometimes I think about it. But we also have different fears, right? We're scared of different things. We have phobias. And so I wanted to share with you guys a fantastic video about fears and phobias. So please watch the screen.
Hey, great mixer, huh?
Yeah, what a terrific idea. You know, we're all here, we all have our own phobias, but we can get together, meet each other, and not feel so alone for once.
Yeah. What's your phobia?
Oh, I have this unexplainable fear of apologies.
Sorry?
Ah!
What?
I just told you I have this unexplainable fear of apologies.
Ah! Oh.
What?
I'm terrified of repetition.
Terrified of repetition?
No! Oh.
Hey, great mixer, huh?
Ah!
Ah! Sorry.
Ah!
Ah!
No screaming. I have a fear of the word which is spelled A-A-G-H exclamation point. That word.
I'm apologies.
Repetition.
Hello.
Now, I mean, hi.
Good evening.
Ahoy there.
I have a fear of awkward silences. I should have told you guys. I'm sorry.
Hey, great mixer, huh?
What was that?
I bark at other people's phobias. I tried to switch out with the other waiters, and they were all like, sorry.
Listen, this has got to stop, okay? I'm afraid of repetition.
You're afraid of repetition?
Whoa! I'm scared of apologies.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Man, this is so frustrating. I could just scream.
No screaming. I have a fear of the word which is spelled A-A-G-H exclamation point. That word.
Okay, you guys are all crazy.
You said it, pal. We're just a big bunch of freaks. I'm sorry.
So there's some weird phobias. So I'm going to tell you guys the 10 most common fears or phobias, okay? And then I'm going to tell you guys some of mine because they're interesting, I promise. First one is social phobias. Eating in front of people, large crowds. You're just afraid to be around people, which some people, I mean, if you have this fear, you can tell me later because I kind of want to know. Second one is agoraphobia, fear of open spaces. Third one is acrophobia, fear of heights. I definitely have that one a little bit for sure. This one I can't pronounce, so I'm going to try. But if you know how to pronounce it, let me know later, because I've definitely read this 20 times and still can't do it right. So it's a neuromorphanophobia. It's fear of flying. So it's a, yeah, thanks. Claustrophobia, fear of enclosed spaces. Entomophobia, fear of insects. Ophidophobia, fear of snakes. I don't think I said that right at all, but that's fine. Cynophobia, fear of dogs. Astrophobia, fear of storms. And then terrapinophobia, fear of needles. So, I personally am terrified of birds. They're terrible. I don't like them. So, we were in Washington at a park, and we were like, in a park, and in this park in Washington, there were just ducks roaming free. Like, what is that, first of all? Why are they not caged? I don't understand. So they're just roaming free, and we're like in a circle praying and worshiping, and I'm like worshiping, and like one eye's open. I'm like, Jesus. And like, I'm like afraid this bird's gonna come at me, okay? So I'm sitting there, and I was like, okay, I got comfortable, and I was sitting there, and then all of a sudden, like, I get real comfortable, and I'm singing, and I feel a bird like right next to me, and I get up, and I just sprint. Like, just run away. And my husband's like, what is going on? And I was like, the birds, they're coming at me, the birds. So, and then our neighbor has a lot of animals. Like, they have a pet pig. And when I say they have a pet pig, they actually walk it on a leash outside, like a dog. So they have ferrets, they have chickens, they have ducks, they have turtles. I mean, they have every animal you can think of. It's like being Josh's house, but it's pretty much the same, actually, at your house. Here you go. Yeah, I got a neighbor just like that. Fantastic. But they have a turkey, okay? Have you seen a turkey? I mean, they're big animals. They are not small. They are massive, full-grown turkeys, okay? Oh, yeah, there you go. Turkey. So this is the fighting pose that I got to experience in my life. So this turkey, I'm in my backyard messing with our patio furniture or something. I don't know where Sean was. He might have been outside. I just don't remember. But I think my daughter was asleep, and we were outside, and like all of a sudden, like this turkey jumps on the wall, like their turkey. And I was like, oh, that's creepy and weird. There's a massive turkey on the wall. And then the turkey comes into our yard, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And it was like probably from here to this monitor, like that close. And then the little feathers went up, like it was ready to go, like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's gonna attack. And I like ran, I screamed, I was like, Sean, the turkey's here, get the turkey. And like, I was like, it's gonna attack. And like, it literally like started coming at me a little, and I just sprinted in the house and I ran to the neighbor's yard. And I was like, guys, can you get your turkey out of our backyard, please? Get your turkey. But Sean was like, it's not that bad. And I was like, that thing was gonna kill me, okay? Turkey's scary. But I also am scared of roller coasters. Like, I'm terrified of them. So who has been to what's it called? Not Disneyland. No, next to Disneyland. God, what's connected to Disneyland, guys? Thank you. There you go. California Adventure. I forgot it. So there's a roller coaster there. They change the name of it every time I go. It's always a different name, but it's the big roller coaster. I went on a trip with my husband, and then we went with Katie and Aaron, who used to come to this church. We went on a trip, and I told them I don't like roller coasters. My husband knows this about me. They were like, no, it's fine. Just go on one. I'm like, guys, it's not that I haven't tried them. I've tried them, and I still don't like them. They're still terrible. I've tried them, and they still stink. I don't like them. And so I'm like, they're like, just go on one with us. And I was like, fine. And I was like in the line of the roller coaster ride. And as we get closer and closer, I start tearing up. Because I'm like, oh my God, this is the worst. Like, and not just like little drip here. It was like straight ugly cry, okay? It was bad. And then we get right to the front, like we were like the next ones to go on the ride, and I'm like sobbing. And these little 5 and 6-year-olds behind me are like, yeah! And here I am sobbing as a grown adult in line, like I'm gonna die. This is gonna be the worst thing in the world. I got on the ride, I cried the whole time. I got off the ride and I was like, this still sucked. Thank you for ruining my time, and I left. It was terrible. So I have some fears. They're scary, and I think they're scary. But other people may think they're irrational. But hey, if you have a fear, tell me later what it is. I want to know. But all that to say, guys, we all have fears in our lives. And whether they're funny or crazy, we fear death. I think a lot of us fear death. I think we're scared of it sometimes, and we're scared of it for many reasons. One is we're scared about who we're going to leave behind. We're terrified about who we're going to leave behind. It feels really final, like it's done. You're dead, you're gone. Like there's nothing else there. And we don't feel ready. about what's really going to happen. We're never fully ready. And then we don't really know what's going to happen when we're going to die. And so that's the question we're going to talk about today is what will happen when we die? What's going to go on there? And so whether we fear it or not, it is inevitable. It will happen. We will come to the end of our lives at some point. And so my hope, guys, this message is not going to be depressing. My hope is that at the end you realize that there's hope in Jesus and who he is, and that in death we can still find joy because there's God who loves us so much. And so John 14, 2 through 3 says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." So the Bible tells us there's a place with Jesus and he has many rooms. That means that it's not that he doesn't have one room, he has many. So each one of us have our own room in Jesus' house. We could all be roommates. All of us live in one house together one day. I mean, some of you may not want that, but some of you be like, hey, that's fun. So think about that for a second. We all could live together one day. But the Bible tells us that there's a place and that he has many rooms. And in Jesus, we have eternal life. But I will say to you, we're not promised tomorrow. We are never promised tomorrow. We walk out the store today, we're not promised tomorrow. So it's important to live your days like it's your last, because you never know when it will be your last. It's important to choose to serve Jesus now, because, guys, there's two places you're going to go when you die, heaven or hell. Okay, let's just be real. You're going to go two places. So the choice of where you're going to go is up to you. You make that decision based on your choices and based on your life and based on what you choose to do with your life. And a lot of people will say, there's no such thing as hell, or God doesn't send people to hell. He's too loving. I agree, God doesn't send people to hell. He doesn't want any of us to go to hell. But we make choices, I think, and decisions that put us there. It's our choices that put us there. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we'd rather not talk about hell because it's just not fun. No one wants to talk about somewhere that's terrible. But I do believe in order to understand the afterlife, we need to have an understanding of what hell is. So we're going to talk about it very briefly. Then we're going to talk about other things, but we're going to talk about that very briefly. And so if we deny the existence of hell, it denies us the opportunity to have a free choice. We have free will. We are not robots. God's not like, you're saved, so you do what I say. Like, that's not how it is, right? We're not just robots that do whatever Jesus says. We have free will. We have choices. And so in that, God says, you choose where you're going to end up in this at the end of your life, at the end of your lifetime. And so your choices will end that. And my prayer is that at the end of this, you're excited. And then you're, like, excited about making sure your loved ones don't go there. You're excited about saying, you know what? I'm going to do everything I can to not make it there, to make it to heaven, to make it with Jesus for an eternity. So what is hell like? Matthew 13, 49 through 50 describes it pretty well. It says, "This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That sounds very terrible. I don't want to experience that. I don't think any of you in this room are like, yeah, that sounds fun. That sounds absolutely terrible. And probably one of the reasons we are scared of death is we read something like that and we're like, I don't want to go. I'm good. Because we fear the unknown. And we fear not being sure of where we're going to end up. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, some of us in this room are probably like, I don't know. I don't know. I've never really thought too much about where I'm going to end up. I just live my life and do my thing. I don't think about the end of days. I think about my life today. And so we fear the unknown. And then one of the things that the scripture says in that, it says we will be separated from righteous. And God is righteous. You know, that's who God is. It's an attribute of God. And so one of the things that this says is that we're going to be separated from God. Hell is a place where we're separated from God. We're separated from the good, from his presence. We're separated from anything good, and we're surrounded by pain and suffering. Because when you pull yourself away from God and his presence, guys, it's painful and it's not fun, and life is not exciting. And so knowing how terrible hell is, we need to understand that the only way to avoid it is to say yes to Jesus and to let him come into your heart. That's the only way to avoid it. You have a choice to make in your life. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Guys, God knows hell exists. He's not like, oh, hell, what is that? He knows it exists, but he created a plan for us to not have to go there. That's the cool thing about it is, like, yeah, hell is scary, but the awesome thing is we serve a God that said, I got a backup plan. You don't have to go there. I have a plan. If you choose me, we're going to go somewhere way better. And so God loves us so much. He wants that eternity. that none of us are going to perish. And so earlier I made a statement that even in death there is hope. And that hope is that we can choose Jesus if we want to. You and I have a choice to choose that. And so we talked about hell a little bit. So what is that choice? What's that second choice? And that's heaven, which is so awesome. Like, what is heaven like? And so the scripture talks a lot about heaven. Talks about the new heavens and the new earth as our eternal resting place. Okay? But that doesn't happen till later. If you read through the scripture, you read it. It doesn't happen till a later date. And since the new heavens and new earth are not here yet, my question is, what happens when we die now? Where do we go? Because we still go to heaven, right? The Bible says we go to heaven or we go to hell. Whether that's where that is, it says we go to heaven. And theologians will call it intermediate heaven, is what they call it. Theologians, they say it's an intermediate heaven. The book that you're reading, so our book, God Questions, that we're going through, they call it temporary heaven, is what they call it. So whatever you want to call it, it's basically the place we go before God creates his final resting place here on earth. Okay, it's heaven, but it's just a little hangout place for us all to hang out together while we wait. So Revelation 6, 9 through 11 kind of describes what that looks like for each of us. It says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants, their brothers and sisters, were killed, just as they had been. So these verses in Revelations give us kind of some clues that tell us what temporary heaven looks like. Because these are, in this scripture, these are martyrs that died, and they were just kind of hanging out and waiting. And so they died, and this is pretty much what it will look like for you and I when we pass away and we make it to heaven. In verse 9, there's some things it says at death, they're going to relocate. So at death, we relocate to heaven, each one of us, right? Then it tells us, too, there's continuity between our identity on earth and our identity in heaven, meaning it's not like we forgot everything, right? So we are the same person that we were on earth as we are in heaven. That doesn't change. We don't become this crazy different person. And then we also, in verse 9, shows us that we'll remember our life on earth. Each one of us will remember. We'll remember the things that happened, the things we did, the friends we made, the relationships, all those things we'll remember. In verse 10, it shows us we're able to express ourselves audibly. It says in the scripture, they called out. So it means we can express ourselves. We can talk. We're not just these quiet, just chilling, like little, have you been to the wax museum? Anybody? Like a little, like we're not just like, just sitting there quietly, just waiting. We're audibly talking, right? We're talking to each other. It's a place of unity. They called out a loud voice is what it says in the scripture. It doesn't say they called out in voices. It says that we called out in a loud voice, meaning we're one, right? We're unified together. We're fully conscious of each other and our life on earth. And so in the scripture, when you read it, it says they asked God to intervene on earth. Like they were praying for those people that were still on earth, which is really cool. So we have an audience with God, is what it shows us as well, which is super awesome. And this is verse 10. We have an audience with God. We ask him questions. We have a need and we want to learn. We remember our life and we remember how we got there. So we remember how we died. We don't forget that. It's not like we're like, I don't know how I got here. We all remember everything. It's crazy. We have a deep concern for justice. We want to see people still find Jesus. We want retribution, and we're interested in that. We understand God's attributes. We understand that he's holy, that he's true, that he's sovereign. Verse 11 shows us some more things. It shows that we're distinct individuals. So when we get to heaven, it says we're given a white robe. Okay? I feel like, I know when I was newly saved, I thought of heaven. In my mind, I thought we're gonna go up to heaven and we're gonna be little spiritual beings and we're just gonna float around and worship Jesus. That was my idea. I didn't know scripture. I just kind of guessed of what it would be. But this scripture shows us that we're given a robe, meaning we have bodies. You know, we're not just spirits roaming around heaven. We actually have bodies. So God gave us a robe to cover our bodies, right? So we are not just spiritual beings. We have physical form. We have communication with God. Okay, we can talk to him. We're still learning in heaven. In verse 11, it tells us that. We live in anticipation of the future fulfillment. It says in the scripture, God says I'll have to wait a little longer because we're anticipating. We're like, God, when are you going to come back? Like, when are we going to have eternity with you is what we really want, right? When are we going to have eternity? the time will still exist. We'll still know the time exists. We'll still see it happen. We'll be able to watch our loved ones and see all those things. There's a strong family connection to Earth, okay? We still know of our family that's still living, and we still see those things. And then lastly, our sovereign God knows every detail that's going to happen in our lives. And so these are observations made from these three verses. And when you guys read your books this week and stuff, you'll see some of those observations. They're going to share some of those with you guys in more depth, which is awesome. But these apply to the martyrs, like I said, but it also indicates what it's going to be like for you and I to experience that. And so that's our intermediate heaven. So we're going to all go to heaven. We're going to hang out and just kind of hang out and wait, right? And then it says in the scripture, we're going to go to our final resting place. It's called the new heavens and the new earth, okay? I went back and forth about reading the scripture that I'm going to read because it is a lot of scripture, but I really love the beauty of how it describes it. I love how Revelations describes heaven, and when I read it, I was like, man, I just get excited because I get to go there, and it sounds so fantastic. So I'm going to read through these scriptures, Revelations 21. I'm going to go 1 through 4, and then I'm going to start again at verse 9. And we're going to read through really what does the Bible say heaven looks like, because it describes it so accurately, and I think it's so awesome. Revelations 21, starting in verse 1. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things had passed away. And then 21, starting in 9, describes kind of what heaven's going to look like. It says, one of the seven angels who had seven books full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who had talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city. Its gates stand its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and as high as it is long. The angel measured the wall using human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper and of the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh crystallite, and the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. Oh, no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will have brought into it. So this is the new heavens and the new earth. This is like our final resting place with Jesus, and I think it's super awesome. That God's like, I just got this great, beautiful place ready for you, if you choose to go there, if you choose me. And so when we choose Jesus, we get a whole life with him. We get life on earth, then we get to experience forever. And I think one of the most amazing things that I love when I read this scripture, it says, you don't see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. It's not about a building we're in. It's not like we all go to church together every week. No, God's like, there is no temple because I'm the temple. It's about Jesus in that moment. It's about God in that moment. And it says that the glory of God gives heaven light, that his glory lights up the entire place. And I'm like thinking, man, how cool would that be to see just this beautiful lit place all all lit up with God's glory, and all we get to do is worship Jesus. Like, that's what we get to do. We get to go to heaven, and we get to spend time with Jesus and worship him, which is the coolest thing. And so the question today we were tackling is, what happens when you die? And my question to you is what happens when you die? What choices are you going to make in your life? Because I feel like it's not so much a question for everybody. I think it's a very personal question for each one of us. And I think it's a question we have to tackle in our lives. Because at the end of the day, there's two places we're going to go. We're going to go to heaven or we're going to go to hell. We're either going to be in eternity with God or an eternity without God. But that's based on you and I making the right choices. And it's based on you and I knowing what it looks like. And so I challenge you, don't be afraid of death. Think about it. Like, really evaluate, man, what does this look like for me? You know, I've seen my share of death. Last year I lost my mother-in-law. And it was a really terrible time for me and my husband. We lost some family. And I remember Thanksgiving time came around, and I was really sad because it was our first holiday without having her there. And it was a really difficult time for us. But I remember sitting in a room with people, and I remember being like, God, I miss her. I want her here. You know, she's in heaven because she was a believer. But I remember being really disappointed and saying, God, why isn't she with us? And God, I remember in that moment, he looked at me, and in that moment, I just felt his presence. And I wasn't talking a lot. I was just talking to him in my head. I was sitting at a table, like really just disappointed a little bit. And God said, she's with me. She's sitting next to me. And I think about that, and I think, man, as much as I wanted her here, how much more amazing is it that she's in a place where there's no pain, there's no suffering, there is no sadness. There is nothing but God's glory and nothing but his presence. Because I think we live in a world that is sometimes kind of terrible. We live in a world that is sometimes pretty stinky. I mean, we sometimes just don't have good lives. And I can probably go through this room and hear stories of some of your lives and be shocked and be like, man, that stinks that you had to go through that because of how terrible this world is. But God says, you know what? This isn't your forever. Your forever is with me. And that's what God really showed me. He's like, her forever is with me now. She's in a good place, in a place that's fantastic. And it's been a struggle because I miss my family. But I also know that she's better. She's in a better place. And I want to know, and I'm going to ask you, can you leave here today with the assurance that you're going to be okay when your time comes? Because I'm going to tell you guys, when you walk out that door today, no one's promised tomorrow. Not one of us is promised tomorrow. And I know that may sound really harsh, but I want you to think about that. Like, we are not promised tomorrow. And God's like, man, make a decision. Take a look at your life and evaluate. Are you on the right path? Or do you need to stop and maybe go to a new path? Do you have the right people around you that are helping you go to that path? Are you making the right choices? And today, my heart is that you leave here with an assurance and an understanding of where you're going to go when your time comes. And an understanding of, man, I will go here or I will go here. And I hope that you choose heaven. I hope that each one of you leave here today saying, I'm going to choose heaven because that's where I want my eternity to be. I want my eternity to be with the Father. I want my eternity to be in the many rooms he has ready for me. I want one of those rooms. And so I pray that you take seriously the choices you make. And so I got saved when I was 16 years old. I did not grow up in a Christian home. I did not have parents dragging me to church on a weekly basis. My parents are atheists, and they dealt drugs my whole life. So that's the life I grew up in. And so I had no foundation of who Jesus was. I had no idea of what Jesus could be in my life. I had zero. I was like, who's this God? Like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Everyone that goes to church, I thought in my eyes they were all crazy. Like, you all are nuts. And I remember saying that to somebody once. But I had a friend that went to church every week, and she was a believer. And I don't know how we became friends. I don't know why, but we just became really good friends. And I didn't really ask her about God, and she didn't really try to push it on me. But she every week would ask me, will you go to church? Every week, come to youth group with me. Come to the youth service with me. And I remember I probably for 6 months said no every single time. She'd say, and I'm like, nope, I'm good. Nope, I'm good. Stop asking me. I would tell her, stop asking me. I don't want to go. She didn't stop. She kept going and kept going and kept going. And can I tell you, I'm so thankful that I had a friend that said, I'm going to fight for you. That whether or not you want to come or not, I'm going to ask you. I'm going to be there for you. And I'm going to be that person in your life that pushes you to make a better choice. Because she cared about my salvation. She cared about my eternal resting place. And she wanted to make sure that I was going to be in heaven one day. And that's how she did it. She just kept pushing and pushing. And I remember I went to church. And I got saved. And, like, God radically transformed my life in such a cool way. And I'm standing here as a pastor today. Not honestly by God's grace. Because I had somebody in my life that said, I'm not going to take no for an answer. I'm going to continue to push. And I want you to see heaven one day. So she didn't know what I was going to do with my life. She just knew that she wanted to make sure that at the end of my life that I was going to know Jesus. That was her passion. It was, I want my friend to know who God is. And I want my friend to have an eternity with the Father. And so I pray that you have friends in your life like that. And I pray that you can be that friend to somebody, because you never know that friend that you have that maybe doesn't know Jesus. You never know when they're going to say yes. Your example, your relationship is what pushes somebody to say yes. And so the question today, what happens when you die? I don't know, guys. I want you to ask yourself that question. What happens when you die? What choices do you want to make? And what choices do you need to make in your life? And so if you guys want to stand up for me, the worship team, you guys can come back up. There's a couple things I'm going to ask you. If you want to close your eyes for me. Some of you in this room identified with the fear of death. There's people, I think, were scared of death. And I get that. It's a scary thing. But my prayer is that today you can wipe that fear off your plate, because you don't need to be afraid of death. Because death isn't scary if we know where we're going to go. So keep your eyes closed for me. And if you're here and you're like, I'm scared of death, it terrifies me, I want to pray for you really fast before we get going, because I want that fear to be gone in your life, because it doesn't need to be there. So if that's you, shoot your hand up. No one's looking around. Everyone's eyes are shut and closed. I see some hands. Thank you. Thank you. See some hands. Father, I pray for each hand that's raised right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, fear be gone. I pray fear be gone. I pray, God, that we walk out of here having an assurance of where we will be one day. And I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that we release fears and that we can have hope in who God is. We have hope in who God is. Secondly, if you're here and you're like, man, I struggle. You're talking about heaven, this great place you get to be a Jesus, but I don't have that relationship with Jesus. If you're like, I just need Jesus, maybe you're backslidden, maybe you're struggling with not knowing God, or you used to know God and maybe you're not so close to God anymore. If you want prayer, and I'm going to pray with you right now to receive salvation, I want you to shoot your hand up, because you know what? God wants no one to perish and everyone to have eternal life. And so if you've never made that choice in your life, I want you to make that choice. So if you're in this room and you need Jesus, shoot your hand up and we're going to pray with you really fast as well. All right, everyone repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, you are faithful. I love you. I give you my life. I worship you. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me for my sins. And allow me to have a love for you. Be with me. Put someone into my life to help me grow closer to you. I love you and I honor you. In Jesus' name.
Again, for listening to this message of Bell Road Church. We hope you enjoyed it and that God spoke to you through it. Be sure to connect with us online via Twitter, Facebook, and at bellroadchurch.com.